Hi, I'm Mike Holland. I'm the Managing Editor of Pharmaceutical Executive, and welcome to the Pharmaceutical Executive Podcast. My guest today is Vincent Hennemann.
Hi, thank you, Mike, and thank you for having me.
And just before we get started, if you could just tell everyone where you work and what you've been working on.
Yeah, so I've been the Chief Operating Officer and Head of Program and Portfolio at Cell for the last 14 months now. I'm also an operating partner at Flagship Pioneering. My background is in bioscience, bioengineering. I've been working 10 years at pharma and then company creation for another 15 years. Most recently, I was the CEO in a covalent peptide company. And then I joined Flagship about 18 months ago, immediately in secondment to Cell, considering what I've been doing in the past.
And we're going to be talking today about some of the work you've been doing, expanding CAR T therapies. So just as a starting off point, I was wondering if you could discuss what's prevented CAR T therapies from expanding too far beyond oncology.
Yeah, well, so what's interesting is to look back in time 15 to 20 years ago, right? So when the cell-based processes and then after that allogeneic cell-based processes in oncology, and they've been pretty successful objectively, if you look and take some perspective on the therapeutic outcomes that came out of that. But from the get-go, the field, especially the industry, knew that it would never become a large-scale therapeutic solution because of the costs, because of the logistical considerations associated with producing those treatments. And so for oncology, that was probably fine. And you're looking for the type of intervention that cell-based therapeutics offer, which is long-term surveillance of your body, where if you have a biological relapse or cancer comes back, you want those cells to be still around. And then being able to act again against your tumors. But it's a fight against cancer. So as every fight against cancer, it's pretty daunting. And so going back with cell is always a cost inefficient way and sometimes probably impossible because of certain risks associated with the intervention. Then if we move back more recently in 2022, some investigators look at that potential of using cell-based therapy, especially CAR cell-based therapy and say, what about trying to do a war against immune cells instead of fighting against tumor cells? We would like for certain autoimmune disorders to be able to remove certain immune cells out of the body. And that was a genius idea. That's the translational moment, as we call it in our industry, where they say, okay, we can do that. And so for now, the last 4 or 5 years, we've been able to see actual remission with cell-based therapy in autoimmune disorders. And what does it mean? It means that those patients that were hard to treat, the most severe in their class, SLE patients, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, got immediately out of symptoms within weeks after the injections. And then that benefit actually was prolonged over time, hitting about the 2 years of remission. And those investigators now have patients 5 years in remission. Without any treatment. So if you think about that, it's look like and feel like more of an antibiotics when you get an infection. You go once and it works and sustain, which is everything that we want to do. Still, this problem of costs and access is a problem. I'll give you an example. If you go autologous cell-based therapy, you would be able to do 10,000, 15,000 doses a year in the US with all the logistics currently in place for manufacturing. With allogeneic, let's add one order of magnitude to that. So you don't go against lupus, you don't go against RA, talking about millions of patients, millions of injections a year just for North America. And then more recently, the field to which cell belongs emerged with a technology that leveraged the findings out of the COVID vaccines technology platforms and really leveraged those findings into a therapeutic context, saying, maybe we can use RNA-based LNP-delivered solution. We call it in vivo RNA CAR. And maybe we can use that as a way to foster access and simplify delivery and simplify manufacturing and lower cost of goods while preserving therapeutic potential. And that's what the space to which cell belongs has been demonstrating over the last 4 or 5 years. It's very, very active in Asia, very, very active in North America. The last 12 months has shown high level, very high level of interest from pharma, company like Capstan, Orbital, more recently Orna. And so we're in that pack of companies leveraging clinical validation from the last 15 years, that translation into the autoimmune space, and then the applicability of a much simpler, much accessible type of technologies to actually deliver on the same kind of outcomes, remission.
So, if I understand correctly, the focus has shifted to focusing on immune cells, correct?
Yeah, so for in vivo RNA, the application domain. So if you look at the other companies, our closest competitors, the one that I just mentioned, they started in oncology, and like them, Cell never had an oncology franchise. When the company was formed, we looked at a couple of rare genetic disorders that aren't part of the portfolio, but not being prolonged and pursued further down. We believe that RNA-based CAR, the in vivo RNA technologies, are very suited to autoimmune disorder because what you want is an intervention, so an injection, quick depletion of whatever cells you're targeting, and then that repopulation happens. You don't want long-term surveillance and like cancer. So that's exactly what RNA technology does. Quick expression, fast repopulation. And that's why we believe it could become the best in class, is not, I mean, intervention of preference for the investigators.
And are there specific indications that this works best for, or is it more of a broad use?
Yeah, so again, leveraging the clinical experience of the cell therapy investigators, we know that there is a, I mean, disease modality match that peaks with lupus, especially SLE, and the form of lupus that is pretty hard to treat. And then all, we call it the B cellopathies at Cell, which is patient with B cell disorder, especially certain type of B cell disorder that precludes conventional interventions such as biologics to treat them because of bioavailability and other considerations. So the list is very long. If you really look at the symptomatology and the mode of action, we go north of 20 indications just for the pure B cell patients. And then you get the B cells extended population, like multiple sclerosis or RA, where you could have confounding B cell and T cells. We believe that our technology could be available, but the clinic has to demonstrate that.
And what clinical stage are you at right now?
So we're aiming towards the clinic for the end of this year. We are actually very advanced in our preclinical efforts, and we've actually validated in the higher species the feasibility and the relevance of our intervention.
So, you're looking to timeline wise, it's still a few years away before we'll be able to really get this into patients' hands, correct?
No, for us, it's going to be, I mean, the field is in the clinic in China. They've actually already announced a couple of phase ones, and the North American competitors are also in the 25, 26 timeframes for clinical data. We will be in the clinic this year in 2026.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Of course. Thank you.